Alrighty. Good morning, everyone. My name is Andres. I've been at this church since around like 2016, around that time. And let me just say, if you are sitting in this church today, you have been blessed. Because when I tell you, I love this church so much. Tomorrow, I will have been a disciple for 7 years now. Yeah. Yeah, it is cause for joy. And when I tell you, man, it's hard. It's hard being a disciple. It's hard trying to follow Jesus. But when I tell you, there is no other way. There is no other way. And this teaching here is, I think, what has, like, supremely kept me from walking away. You know what I mean? Like, I can't. It's impossible. Because if you will turn with me to John chapter 6. When you get up here and your hands are just like shaking, I'm like, oh my gosh. But there's this really interesting teaching that I've kind of looked at over the years that has really helped keep me grounded. And so in John chapter 6, it's kind of I think the book of John is my favorite book. I think it just has a lot of, you know, obviously like very directly pointed to Christ. And so in this instance, we start with the chapter, right? He feeds the 5,000, right? So he feeds the 5,000. And when he gets to the end of that, right, it's this great miracle, bread and fish for everyone. And when he gets to the end of it, right, people, they saw the sign that he performed. And looking in verse 15, right, he says, Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. And so this is something interesting. I think when I first read it, you know, when I was first reading the Gospels, I was like, I'm not really sure what he means by that. Or, you know, like, what do you mean, like, make him king by force? Why would they do that? And so when you get a little further down to verse 25, and I found this funny, he says, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? And what you see is right before this, right, Jesus walked across the lake, you know, and I mean, he made him, like, his way all the way over there, and they just coincidentally run into him, you know. They're like, when did you get here? He's like, and he says, very truly, and he calls him out immediately, right? He says, very truly, I tell you, you were looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. And so what you'll see is that the Israelites constantly throughout the Bible were doing this thing of what's called like taking the wrapping and throwing away the gift, right? So and this is a quote from the book I was reading. He said, God leading Moses to a land of milk and honey was not for his culinary delight, right? No more than the lightning and thunder on Sinai was so that they could admire the landscape, right? You'll see that a little further down, he says, right? Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. And they say, let me see, in verse 30. So they asked him, what sign then will you perform that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And so this is interesting because he had already done a miracle for them, right? And so now they're like kind of trying to get more out of it. I mean, and so as you can imagine, right, there's a group of 5,000 people and bread just suddenly appears in like perfect quantity. They're going to want more, you know what I mean? And for them, you know, as it is, I think Christ is misunderstood sometimes by the world. I think people are reaching for the wrong thing, and they're reaching for something that he's not necessarily offering. Right? So they say, Moses provided, you know, bread for us. What are you going to do? You know? And, right? He says, first of all, he corrects them, right? He says, truly I tell you, it was not Moses that gave them the bread, but God, right? For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And see, so you come to this problem of bread, right? And that's what we talk about here in communion, right? The bread and the wine. And you think about, what is that bread? You know, what is it that Jesus is offering with that bread? Well, it's hunger, right? People are hungry. I think as human beings, we have unfulfilled desires, unfulfilled needs, right? And we live in a state without Christ of constantly just trying to fulfill those needs. And what you find is it just leads you nowhere. It's a constant cycle of, you know, as he says, their God is their appetite, right? It can never be filled. And there are legitimate hungers, right? There's hunger for love, hunger to express, hunger to belong. You know, there are these things that we need to be fulfilled, but I think what Christ is trying to tell us is that you cannot be fulfilled and you cannot be sustained if you only focus on those things. Because just like the bread, it is the means and not the ends, if that makes sense. When we only chase these hungers, we lose sight of what can truly satisfy us. And so I like how, right with them, they're like, just give us more bread, right? They're like, what are you going to do? Just, you know. And if you'll notice, the Israelites in this case, when they're talking to Jesus, they're still in the same mentality of the Israelites in the desert, right? They're like, oh, why did we leave Egypt? You know, this and that, always complaining and always asking for more. And, you know, it's like, okay, well, back then, God did give you the bread, right? And you ended up wandering the desert for 40 years, you know, like it didn't do anything for you. And see, when you take that mentality and that mindset of like, well, that's what you end up doing. You know, you just end up wandering and you're never fulfilled. But I like how you look at the Samaritan woman, right? She came to Christ as a reject. He left her accepted by God. She came to him with a bucket. He sent her back with a source of living water. She came wounded. He sent her back whole, right? Came living a quiet life of desperation, a life of quiet desperation, and she ran back overjoyed and flowing with hope. You see, she saw what Christ was trying to give, right? She might have been like, oh, living water? Oh, okay, let me get some more buckets. No, right? He's trying to offer something much deeper because hunger is not the means of our life, right? It's not, we don't live to eat and eat to live. Life is more than this, right? God has created us for more than to just be a consuming entity. And this is why, right? You'll always find this, you'll always come to this conclusion if you try to live without God, right? It's just, you always find yourself empty, hungry, searching, wandering. And this is why I love where he comes to. If we go to verse 32, he says, Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, right? It is Moses who, not Moses, who, oh, sorry. 35. Then Jesus declared, right? Because what he says is, it wasn't, right, give you the man, my father who gives you the bread, not Moses, right? And so I think when they say, when they say in verse 34, they say, sir, always give us this bread. I think what they were trying to get at was like, yeah, like make it rain. You know? And I think they weren't necessarily expecting what Jesus was going to say next. He says, I am the bread of life, right? Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And that's probably not the answer they were looking for, right? Because when they went looking for him across the lake, they weren't looking for him. They were looking for the bread. And so that's why, you know, Jesus comes to as well in verse 48. He says, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. And so what we come to is that Jesus is the answer. He is the way, the truth, and the life. You cannot find sustenance without him, and this is why we come to communion on Sunday mornings, you know, is because we have to remember that without him, we just can't do it. And so you'll see, just to conclude, right, he always makes metaphors about food. And one of my favorites is how he says, the fields are ripe for harvest, right? He's not talking about food, right? There's needs and hungers everywhere, but plenty of food for all. So with that said, I'm going to pray. Dear Lord God, just thank you for this blessed morning, Lord God, for all of us to be gathered here. Just thank you for your word, Lord God. Thank you for your sacrifice, Lord God, that you saw us, even though we're insignificant and tiny, Lord God, you saw that we were so important to you that you would come down and give your life for us, Lord God, and sacrifice your life and your flesh and your blood for us, Lord God. We pray that we can just really reflect on you, Lord God, and that you sustain us and you keep us whole, Lord God, and that we always have you, and we know that you'll never abandon us, that you'll always be there with us, Lord God. We love you. It's in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.